believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest tonight grew up in Cincinnati, Ohio, and joined the Sisters of Charity when she was 17 years old. She earned a B.S. and an M.A. in education and is the principal of Holy Family Regional School in Rochester, which is the largest grade school in Southeast Michigan. She's loved by everyone and is known as the Singing Nun. Her name, Sister Karen Howther. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible, presented by Trust in Us on News Talk 760 WJR.
Now back to Anything Is Possible with Jack Krasula on News Talk 760 WJR. Brought to you by Trust in Us, a world-class executive search firm. Now, here's Jack.
We're with Sister Karen Howther, the president of Holy Family Regional School in Rochester Hills, Michigan. Sister, welcome. It's an honor to have you.
Thank you, Jack. I'm honored to be here.
Can we start by talking about your childhood and your parents?
Certainly. My parents, Francis and Carl Howther, were from Springfield, Ohio. My mother, a very Irish woman, whose heritage goes way back to Donegal in Ireland. My father, the last name Howther, is a Dutch name, but there is Irish in that family as well. I have two sisters who are married with children, many nieces and nephews, many great nieces and nephews. I have a brother who is younger than I by 1 year. He is a priest, a Franciscan priest. He is in Indiana, and we were just a simple family. My father owned a bar for a while I was growing up, and as a matter of fact, he was the number one patron of the bar for so long that he ended up in his latter years buying that very bar. I used to sing in his bar on occasion in the bar. It was the neighbor's bar at that time. And he was actually a four-color pressman. He worked for Crowcoyer's Publishing Company, which was in Springfield, Ohio at that time. They used to publish Collier's Encyclopedia and things like that. My mom was a homemaker and went to a Catholic school in Springfield, and just really liked the simple life. We were very simple people. We didn't have a lot of money. We never went any place. We just enjoyed each other. I have a great relationship with my two sisters and their husbands and my wonderful brother, who I see not often enough, actually, but we're kind of engaged in the same kind of work, and so when we are together, we really enjoy being with each other.
What did you learn from your mom, sister, and what did you learn from your dad?
My mom was a person of great endurance. I think she suffered a lot just from worrying about us. As I look at it, there wasn't that much to worry about, but she had great endurance. She was a person who was always happy. She pulled herself together in so many instances. When Crowcoyer Publishing Company closed down in Springfield, it became like a ghost town there, and my family had to move out of there. My parents moved to Louisville while my brother and my one sister and I were still in high school. We had to live alone at home, and she was in Louisville with Dad. And she had great endurance, though. She did what she had to do for her family. Her family was her whole life, and that's, I just always loved her for that. She was the Catholic of the family, and so she raised us Catholic. My dad, I believe what I got from my father is courage. Dad was not afraid of anything. Maybe he was afraid, but he acted like he wasn't. So he taught me to be a person who was not afraid. And I have to say that through the grace of God and all the persons I've known, chiefly my dad, I have grown to be a person who is really not afraid and love to take chances and love challenges and things like that in my lifetime. So I'm blessed to have had two wonderful parents who gave me just really good, healthy attitudes towards living.
Do you ever take a drink, sister?
Oh, indeed I do. White Zinfandel happens to be my favorite drink of choice. But in my father's bar, I mean, you know, we were raised even as little children to have a little sip of the beer here or there at the table and a little glass of wine. We did that as children. And it made us, you know, we just took it for granted. That's the way it was. So, of course, we never abused it because we were raised on it.
Can you talk about your education?
Yes, I was taught in a Catholic school, Catholic grade school and high school in Springfield, Ohio. The Sisters of Charity were the sisters who taught me and whom I later entered the community of Sisters of Charity of Cincinnati. I graduated from high school, worked a year at the Champion Embalming Fluid Company, of all places, as a secretary to the advertising manager there. And then I entered the Sisters of Charity. In between there, I attended Ohio State University. And when I became a sister, I got a bachelor's degree in elementary education and a master's degree in counseling at DePaul University in Chicago. And then became certified as a principal and counselor later on in my career.
How did you ever know that you wanted to be a nun?
Well, you know, as a very young person, second grade for sure, I remember thinking about that I wanted to be a sister. And as those years went on, I decided I didn't want to be a sister. But when I was in high school, there was this sister, Mary Mahoney was her name, a great Irish sister, Mary Patrice Mahoney. And she used to have us pray every day in this English class that she was teaching for the two persons in this room who had religious vocations. Let's pray for them every day. And I used to think, oh, these poor persons that we're praying for every day. I didn't know who it was, but I thought, well, I did my praying. We said the Hail Marys every day for these people. And honestly, when I graduated from high school, worked a year, and then went to the Sisters of Charity, in my same class was Louise Akers, my very best friend. We both entered the Sisters of Charity of Cincinnati with religious vocations. And it just kind of was something I then always loved from that day on. Never thought I wouldn't be a sister after I first went through the door.
God works in strange ways. Here you have a man who owns a bar, and he has a daughter that becomes a nun and a son that becomes a priest. How does that happen?
Well, it's the way they taught us. I mean, my sisters who are married with children are, in my eyes, the ones who have the real, real saintly lives. I mean, they have raised, one of them raised six children, one of them raised three children. They're so devoted to their grandchildren. I just think we were taught from the very beginning to do what God tells you to do, as my parents did. We prayed every day. We weren't necessarily the most religious family in the world, but we prayed every day. And I was raised praying, and just whatever God wanted me to be was what I wanted to be. And it's the same with my brother. That's just how it happened. You never know. I do believe religious vocations are alive and well today, even though the numbers aren't as great as they used to be, but I believe that they're alive and well if people just pay attention to that.
We're talking to Sister Karen Hover. When we come back, we'll ask her what it's like to be a nun. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
This is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR with Jack Rasula.
We're talking to Sister Karen Hover, who joined the Sisters of Charity when she was 17. Sister, you took a vow of poverty, chastity, and obedience.
Yes.
What's that like?
It's my life, actually, Jack. The vows of the sisters and the vows of religious priests, by the way, are very similar. The vow of poverty, celibacy, and obedience. The vow of poverty, you know, in this day and age, it's hard for someone to know that I have a vow of poverty. To look at me, I have clothes to wear, I have a car to drive. All that, however, is provided for me by my religious community. The vow of poverty is one where you really do not own anything of your own. If anyone needs worse what I have than however my need is, I have an obligation to give it to them. I try to look for people who have a need. I try to help people in my own certain way. I make a salary in my wonderful school. I send that salary to my religious community in Cincinnati, and they send me back a certain amount of money to live on, which they think is what I should be using. The rest is kept for the order. The rest is kept to take care of our senior sisters and any sisters who are in training. If I need more money than that, I just don't have it. But I always manage to be able to have enough money to live on the way that I should be living as a woman of God. And I'm always taken care of. The vow of celibacy is really the vow that makes us distinguishable, I think, from the poor people of God. Because talking about the vow of poverty again, you know, people who are poor are in such greater stress than I am in. And I am supposed to identify with them. But the celibacy vow is the one that really distinguishes us. For we have pledged ourselves to God that we would not marry, that we would not have children, that we would give all of our energies and all of our love to our God and to the people of God. And I have to say, that is the vow that I'm probably the proudest of, because in my past, I had opportunities along the way. I certainly have had acquaintances with men and enjoyed my time as a young girl dating and dancing and those kinds of things, for I love music and dance was all part of that. But because I have a full notion of what I am to do as a sister, my vow of celibacy means the most to me. And it leaves me exclusively available to serve the people of God. My vow of obedience is one to my religious community and to the Pope, as a matter of fact. But since I really don't see the Pope that often, my vow is to my religious community, where if they have a need for me to spend my energies and my education, my mission, at a different place from where I am, that they would send me there, and I would have that opportunity then to do the work that they choose for me.
One time I was with Edsel Ford and his wife Cynthia, and somehow we were talking about nuns. And I said, Edsel, you know, when a nun takes her vows, she takes the vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. And Edsel said, Jack, when I married Cynthia, I took those vows. So, just a joke. It's all, for every one of us, it's really hard to surrender to God. Our Father, you know, not my will, but thine be done.
Yes.
We don't really mean that. When we pray, we tell him what we want, because we know what we want. How have you learned to surrender to God?
Well, I look for signs all the time. I look for signs as to what God is wanting me to do. I know when I went to the job that I have now, Holy Family, that was so clear to me that that was what I was supposed to do, for I received notice of it from the pastor at that time, Father Tim, my dear friend, and I was very happy at the school where I was, and yet that haunting, that feeling inside of unrest until you rest in the Lord is what was most interesting to me. I think surrendering to God just means keeping your eyes wide open. And whatever God has for you, there's always hints of it around. If someone has a need, if a child has something that he or she needs in my school, I try to attune myself and pay attention to that. And that I think that's the sound of God speaking to me. And I really try to work on that. I really think it's, you know, like in the Our Father, when we say, give us this day our daily bread, we are allowed to ask for the things that we need. And yet we also say, "What not want, not my, but thy will be done," is the most important part. I actually believe that in the Our Father, that the words, forgive us as we forgive those, I think those are the most important words to live by. I often think that I should be saying, forgive if I forgive, because we act like we're already doing it when we use the word as all the time. Forgive as I forgive. Oh, my goodness. I just am always awed by those words. I think that's the greatest prayer ever written, and it really contains everything that we need to govern our life.
Sister, my dog ate my homework last night. Will you forgive my dog?
Will you forgive your dog is the important thing.
Absolutely. That dog has saved me so many times.
Good old dog.
Can you talk about a career as a teacher?
Oh, yes. I always tell my staff that there's no greater career than to be a teacher. It is such an honorable profession, and I'm happy to be part of such an honorable profession. I've been a principal now almost 30 years, and teacher way long before that. Such an enjoyable time to see children before you growing up and maybe taking with them something that you've said or done or in your lifetime that has influenced them. I've had the privilege of singing many weddings for the students that I've taught. I've had the privilege of being part of many families, celebrations for different things, baptisms, funerals, etc. And I just feel so honored to be part, and education has provided that all for me. I have great, great, great admiration for teachers. And for teachers who are parents, I have the greatest of admiration. And Catholic school teachers who are parents, for they send their children to schools where they pay the tuition, they don't make a great deal of money, and yet they see a value in our type of education.
Sister, what makes a great teacher?
A great teacher, I have several on my staff, I can tell you that. A great teacher is one who sees the need of every child in the class and makes a point of looking at each child and trying so hard to meet that child's needs. For each child has a different learning style. And to have a teacher, when we have about 30 children in each one of our classes, to be able to meet the learning needs of each child in the class is truly a gift and truly a gifted teacher.
We're with Sister Karen Hover, who's known as the Singing Nun. And she brought her guitar this evening, and the kids have named this guitar Joyful.
That's right.
So as we go to a break, could you play something for us, Sister?
This is a song by ABBA. It's called I Have a Dream. I love this song. I have a dream, a song to sing, to help me cope with anything. If you see the wonder of a fairy tale, you can face the future even if you fail. I believe in angels, something good in everything I see. I believe in angels. When I know the time is right for me, I've crossed the stream. I have a dream.
That's Sister Karen Hover. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Brought to you by Trust in Us, a world-class executive search firm. Once again, here's your host, Jack Krasula.
Welcome back. We're with Sister Karen Hover, the Singing Nun. Sister, in a public school, a seasoned teacher makes between $60,000 and $65,000. In a private school, seasoned teacher, $38,000 to $45,000. Why teach in a private school?
Well, that's a question I'm sure my staff has asked so many times. You know, my staff is about 110 members. 70-some of them are teachers. And it is true that the public sector makes so much more money than the Catholic school or the private school teachers make. Actually, some of the public school teachers make much more than what you've described just there. But as far as our teachers are concerned, this is my philosophy, and I know the philosophy of my staff, that teaching in a Catholic school is a mission. It is not anything other than that. It is a mission. It is a ministry. And so you're never going to be paid what your ministry is about, because your ministry incorporates your whole person. And you know, when you go into a ministry and work as in a mission, that whatever can be offered to you as a stipend for what you do for the people is what you accept. And my staff, year after year after year, many of these people have been with me for so many years, even two schools, some of them go way back to my previous school, have been with me. And I like to think that our school, Holy Family Regional School in Rochester and Rochester Hills, we have two campuses to the school, 1,150 children. I like to think that our school offers so much more than just the fact that they sacrifice to have to work there. I believe that it is the mission, and then what they get from it is that they are serving the people of God and doing the work for the children of God in the way that God intends us to do it. We just finished our accreditation just shortly ago, and the philosophy of our school, that Jesus Christ is the reason for our school, was found to be outstanding at our school from our parents, from our children, from every aspect of our school. The wonderful team of principals and teachers, public and private, that came into our school to evaluate us, found that Holy Family truly is a school of God, a mission of God, a strong academic, strong in its academic excellence, and yet that the mission of God is what permeates the whole school. That's so such a thing that I'm proud of for my staff.
We're with Sister Karen Hauver. I'm Jack Rasula. This is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back to Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Presented by Trust in Us, a world-class executive search firm. Now, here's your host, Jack Krasula.
We're talking to the principal of Holy Family Regional School, Sister Karen Hauver. Sister, you have a vision for this school. Can you share that with us?
I will, Jack. Thank you. I wrote this vision in 1992. I came to Holy Family in 1991, and I always believe in setting forth some goals. So I created this vision, and it actually hangs in the doorway of our school as you enter our South Campus. And my vision is just very simple. I want excellence to be the only standard. I want to be measured as an excellent school. Excellence in the and our strength of teaching the faith to our children. Excellence in academics. I want it to be a place where children thrive. I want it to be a place where I have an administrative team and a wonderful staff who challenge each other to be better and better. I want a school where the parents are vitally a part of it and that their decisions and their input is vital to how we operate our school. And then I want the school to just be under the guidance of the Spirit of God so that we are clear that we are going in the right direction for our children.
Sister Karen Hauver, you're an extraordinary lady, and you're truly loved by all that meet you, the parents, the students. Why?
I don't know. I don't know. That's hard for me to say. I guess because I love. I just love so greatly myself. I want everyone to have a chance. I want all children to be to know that they are equal before God and before me. I feel like if you treat children well, the parents will be happy. I feel like our goals for our children are so strong and so attainable that our parents are happy. Our school is excellent. Our children go to wonderful Catholic high schools and public high schools, and constantly comes back to us that our children are well prepared. That the high schools want our children because they can read and they can write and they do have wonderful attitudes and great manners, and they can add and subtract and they can do all the things that quality people can do, and then they can do so much more than that. For they're raised by these wonderful families who desire this type of education. But if I'm loved, it's only because God has given me that back, because God has given me the gift to love.
You've educated tens of thousands of kids. What's the greatest excuse you've ever heard from a student?
Oh, children always have excuses. You know, they always have excuses, and they forget they give their excuses, and then, you know, they're... the one about your dog. I've heard that dog excuse so many times. The dog ate this, and what my mother did with the paper that I was supposed to bring in today, and these poor mothers who don't even know that they are the reasons for all this happening. But children are funny. They're just funny. I enjoy laughing at them, and I enjoy laughing with them. And I believe they mean well. I believe they have the greatest of hearts. And I want to help them grow and to be. I don't want to ever be a person who can't enjoy children. I need to get out of the business when that truly happens to me.
When I was in high school, we had a nun teaching a course. And four of us, there was going to be a test at 8 in the morning. So four of us said, we'll come in late. We would come to school together. We get there at 9 o'clock, you know, class is over. We're sorry, sister, we had a flat tire. No trouble, young men, you know, I'm not hungry today. Why don't you come back during the lunch hour, and I'll administer the test to you. Oh, we'd love that, sister. So we go back in there. She puts us in the four corners of the room, looking at the wall. And she says, all right, one question essay, which tire went flat? We had four answers.
I think I was teaching that class that day, Jack.
You have a very special eighth grade choir.
I do.
Can you share that with us?
Yes. I have wonderful students in my eighth grade, almost 100 eighth graders who sing with me. And I take them places to sing. In fact, we're going to go to the Archdiocese to sing here at Sacred Blessed Sacrament Cathedral on January 30th for the Archdiocesan Mass. But I've had many choirs over the years. My eighth grade is the Choir of Holy Family. It's a voluntary choir, believe it or not. I put out the word to the children to beginning the year. How many would like to belong to the choir? Purely voluntary, sign up. And, you know, we have 92 eighth graders, and 92 have signed up for the choir. It's just a wonderful thing to be part of. I enjoy being part of it. I have a wonderful accompanist, Phyllis Bengry, and we enjoy our choir. We enjoy our eighth graders. They're wonderful soloists, beautiful voices, and they're really coming along. They're going to be real fine this year, too.
How can we learn more about Holy Family Regional School?
Well, we have a website. www.holyfamily.org is our website. Our phone number at the school, 248-299-3798. That's the South Campus. But you're welcome to inquire about our school. We have brochures all over the place. We're frequently in the paper. We're just a school who likes people to know about us and put out the information. Call me. I'd be glad to talk with anybody about their future having their children in our school.
Sister Karen Hover, what's the biggest thing parents can do for their preschool children?
Oh, for a preschooler, I think the biggest thing they can do is let the children play, read to them, don't overwhelm them with academics before they get to school. Some parents will do that. They want them to learn the alphabet and the numbers and everything else before they get to school. That is not necessary. Preschools teach the children wonderfully. But if they constantly read to them, constantly do things with them, constantly participate with them, and let children experience some kinds of difficulties and live through them, that's a great experience. They'll be ready for school.
What advice to parents of grade school children tonight?
Grade school children are just big preschoolers is what they are. They're a little bit bigger. They once again want to be treated fairly. Read to them, be with them, help them with their homework. Don't help them always with their homework. Give them opportunities to get started and then walk away. Give them a special place to work. Tell them that they are wonderful and that they go to a wonderful school, and that then they'll be fine. Children are wonderful. They're just basically wonderful. So they just need that constant love and attention.
We're just starting a show on WJR with Peter Nielsen, Peter's principals.
Mm-hmm.
That man has muscles in places, sister, where most of us don't have places.
I know that.
And one thing Peter talks about is that this is the first generation where the parents will routinely outlive their children.
Mm-hmm.
What do you tell kids about, and parents, about diet, et cetera, exercise?
Oh, I'm a great one on exercise myself. I am an exerciser. I'm no good at it, and I'm not certainly any kind of athlete. I always tell the children that I am, and I taught them everything they know. But I do believe in that. I do believe in healthy eating. We took the pop machines and things out of our cafeteria, the candy machines, right out of there because we believe that it's not giving good example to children. And so we try to serve healthy lunches at lunchtime. We try to encourage our children. We try to talk to the parents about what's healthy for kids, and they need to work on that.
Would you share another song, one that you wrote, sister?
Yes, this is a Christmas song that I wrote. And this actually is a song that was a favorite of Jonathan Potter. Jonathan was a fifth grader in our school who died last year. This is the favorite of his. We sing it all the time. It's called Waiting for a Miracle. We're waiting for a miracle, for God to send a miracle, a baby who will bring us peace and show us loving ways. We're waiting for a miracle, for God to send a miracle, for it will take a miracle to bring us peace today. Long ago, God sent his Son to bring the world his peace. But years have passed and we have strayed. Again we ask him, please, and so we're waiting for a miracle, for God to send a miracle, a baby who will bring us peace and show us loving ways. We're waiting for a miracle. Oh God, please send a miracle. Now look, He sent a miracle today.
We're waiting for a miracle. Sister Karen Halver, and I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Trust in Us, a world-class executive search firm, presents Anything Is Possible with Jack Krasula on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back. We're with the singing nun and her guitar, Joyful.
Yes.
Sister Karen Halver. Sister, 2 days from now, we celebrate another Christmas. What does Christmas mean to Sister Karen Halver?
Well, Christmas to me has always meant new life. New life. Look for new life. We talk about a baby being born, and surely that child was born years and years ago, but every year this is a time for new life, a new way of looking at things. We can give gifts to one another, not expensive ones, but just new ways, maybe a poem, something new that'll make another feel good. Look for new life, look for new opportunities, look for ways that God is speaking to you and me about new things that might be coming up in life. That's what I believe Christmas is. It's a time to look at new life.
A lot of people at this time of the year, they want inner peace.
Yes.
If there's a listener out there that's craving for inner peace, how does he or she get inner peace?
I don't know how everyone gets inner peace. I know how I get inner peace, and it's going back to my center each time. I have a dear friend who taught me about the center of me. And the center of me is the God part of me. I believe everyone has a God part. And when you get to the place where you can take everything away except the God part, really discover it and go back to it when things are crazy and busy, you will have your inner peace. And I feel like I have been taught how to do that, to clear out of my way those things that are troubling and bothersome, and discover the peace of God which lies within me. It really is within each of us. It's just how to get to it, how to clear away other things to get to that center of peace.
You're a natural leader. You're a great sales lady. You're an extraordinary Christ-centered person. And you're a Buckeye fan.
Yes, I
am. Sister. Sister.
It all goes together as far as I'm concerned.
So, young people, forget young people. If we could give everybody true self-confidence,
yes,
self-image, so many of our problems would go away. We would have peace. We wouldn't have alcoholism, drug abuse, physical violence, etc., sexual abuse. How do people get true self-confidence?
Well, I think going back to that center, I just have to say that a person's self-confidence comes from discovering that there is such good in you that you needn't be afraid. Self-confidence comes from being somewhat certain, not completely certain, but being able to present yourself in a way that you know what you're talking about, being able to look at the God in you who gives you this confidence and says you are worthwhile, you are a child of love, you are able to put forth yourself and do what's right for our people. I believe that taking time, once again, to clear away the clutter and get to the center will give one self-confidence.
Sister Karen Halver, who are your heroes?
Oh, I have several heroes. Mother Teresa is a hero of mine, a heroine of mine. Mahatma Gandhi. I have teachers in my own school, Dory, Carla, Martha. They're heroes to me. Rita Jean, those people who are such sacrificial people. I love people who've given their lives for others. Martin Luther King is a hero of mine. I think that that man spoke of God his whole life. I have many heroes and heroines who touch me every day. Several of our parents who reach down inside and just say that this is what I want for my children, no matter what it takes, I'm going to do this, are heroes and heroines to me. I have many, Jack. I have many.
There is an aura about you, an energy level, a zest for life, optimism, enthusiasm. Sister, Do you ever have doubts, or do you ever get depressed and down?
I never have doubts about my vocation as a sister. I never one time have ever had a time when I thought I didn't want to be a sister. I believe that is my life, and certainly 46 years as a sister would convince one that would be quite enough time. As far as being down, sometimes I'm down but not because of anything anybody did to me, but rather things that maybe I have done or not done that I feel like I've my own shortcomings are before me. And I need to, it's in those times when I pray a lot, pray frequently, pray often, to pick myself back up and go on from there.
As we come to Christmas, would you share with us a Christmas prayer?
Yes, thank you. Our God, you have gifted us in this world with your Son, Jesus. Your Son brought to us peace. Lord God, help us rid ourselves of all the things that cause us not to have peace. Help us look at children, little children, for they have the way of peace. Help us be peaceful in our country, in our schools, in our cities, in our families, Lord God. Bless us every day, we pray, for it was you who created the great gift of peace. We ask this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
To you, sister, what's success in life?
Success is doing what God has given you the gift to do. And success is there's a peace about it, I think. Just knowing what's right, doing it, and sitting back and letting those people you touch do the next step of it. Just passing the peace along, passing the gifts along.
There's a little phrase, let God be God. What does that mean to you?
That's one of my phrases, actually. Did I tell you that before I came here or something? Let God be God. I don't run the world. I don't run everything. God is in heaven, and God takes care of the world. I don't have to do that. I just have to handle my little piece, which is a most insignificant piece, but which is something that I feel like I can do.
Sister, you've been phenomenal tonight.
Thank you. So have you, Jack.
Okay. The last question we end with is, what advice would you give to our young listeners tonight?
I hope some of my students are listening. I would advise them just to know how good they are. You are so good. Your parents are so good. Teachers, you are so good. Look at the goodness in you, for that is of God. And it is that goodness of God, passing it along to someone else, that will make our world better. I believe our children are the future. I believe our children and the country all over the world of children, that will make for our peace, that will make our world better. Children will do it. God bless you.
God bless you. Sister, thanks for coming. Thanks for all you do, and please keep it up.
Thank you for allowing me to talk tonight on your show. I enjoyed being here with you.
And to our listeners, may you have a merry and joyous Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week and a great Christmas, because with God, anything is possible. Spahome.